وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We have been reading Surah Al-Asr in this month of Ramadan, and we have been discussing the subject that is discussed in it, which is Insan and Iman. And we are at the last stages now of our subject. And these things that we went through, again, as a reminder, are things that we need to put into our lives and make our lives such that we can acquire Iman and we can grow as a mu'min. Yesterday, we were discussing the effects of our belief in Akhirat. And we see that the second effect, or the second thing that occurs in our life with having Iman in Akhirat is called repentance or Tawbah. And this is something that for all of us, it is a mercy that Allah gave to us. It is a blessing that Allah He gave to us, knowing the fact that we have done wrong, we have done things that we would not do in front of others. And Allah has given this mercy to mu'mineen, to believers, because of the fact that believers, those who are mu'min, they had lived their lives in a way which safeguarded Allah's laws. There, in their all their lives, they looked at Allah and honored Him. And you see that this is a blessing Allah gives even to those who are weak in their faith, but they are still mu'min. And that is the way to repent. Doing tawbah is known by all the Muslims, but what it means, we see that hardly anyone knows it. What does it mean to repent? And we see that a lot of times we repent, but the repentance is done in a way that we really don't know how it is or what we are doing. A lot of times we see that the Muslims, they look at, the way they do repentance, and you will see it. For example, if they pray, if they have done something wrong, they'll say to Allah, "Oh Allah, please forgive us." A lot of times they hit themselves on the cheek saying, Tawbah, Tawbah. Right? Now, the fact is that what is the meaning of this and what should we do in order to repent? This is something that first we must understand. Tawbah itself is a word that means to come back. It means to come back. To realize something again. Like an example I can give you is like, for example, a young boy or a youth, he has friends, they're up to no good every time they're together. And he himself, when he's with them, he's also up to no good. And so what happens is that when they're together, you see that their whole style, their whole lifestyle is different. The way they talk, the way they behave. Everyone wants to be, in other words, cool. They all want to be cool and they all want to talk like that also. And you see this, that one day this boy is in the house and the friends, they come to his house, they know they can't knock at the door or ring the doorbell. Because if they do that, the father who's inside his own room, they are, you know, he's going to come out there and he's going to ask them to get out and shoo them off. So they know that they can't come openly. And the reason they don't come openly here also is because they themselves know that they are bad and they are not welcome. Now, if they were anything respectable, right, they would come and ring the door because they have nothing to hide. They're not going to do anything bad. See, this is the reason that if you are good, you're welcomed everywhere. If you're not good, then you yourself know you're not welcome. That's why you're afraid to even ring the doorbell. So what happened is that they have a sign language for the boy. And they said that, listen, every time we come, we're going to give this whistle to you. And when you hear this whistle, you come out. So this becomes their sign. And so what happened is that these friends come by and they whistle. The boy hears the whistle. He looks out of his room, he sees the dad is in his own room, and he steps out. As he steps out of the room, out of his house, and he goes a little bit ahead, where he knows that he's a little bit away from the house, he walks straight in a respectable, uprighteous way. But once he reaches his friends, then it starts. You see, his language changes, right? His behavior changes, his attitude changes, everything that he does changes. And you see, he's talking all jive and, you know, being cool, and he wants to be cooler than they are. So he's using words he shouldn't be using, he's using language he should be using, he's using gestures he shouldn't be using. He's acting in a way that he shouldn't be acting. And all the friends are laughing until he sees all the friends stop laughing. When the oldie friend, they stop laughing, and he sees them looking over his shoulder, and their eyes are wide open, and they look righteous now. So he realizes that now he is caught red-handed. He's caught acting this way. He's caught doing things that he shouldn't be doing. So when now he's caught, now you see right away his whole attitude changes. He stands up straight. He is thinking differently. He is talking properly, his language changes, his behavior changes, his whole lifestyle changes. Why? Just because of the fact that he has an idea. He hasn't even turned around and looked yet. He hasn't even looked back yet as to who is looking. But he knows from the behavior of his friends that someone is looking, that he must change his behavior. So he changes his whole behavior. For what? Because of the fact that he is being washed. Just the idea that he is being washed. Just the idea that is in his mind that he is being washed, he changes his behavior. This realization that came to him. And just by realizing the fact that he is being watched, you see how much it changed his behavior and made him proper and made him righteous, made him right. Why did this happen? Because of this realization that came. This realization, when you know that you're being watched by someone who you should be acting wrong in front of, this realization, you see, is enough to change the whole lifestyle of a person. This realization is enough to change the whole behavior of a person. This realization, if you have, of whom? Of your father. You see that it is able to change your life. So if this realization you have about someone who gave you birth can have such a tremendous effect in your life, imagine if you have the realization of your Maker. This realization of your Maker when you are negligent, this realization when you are ghafil, this realization when you are not paying attention, when you get this realization, this is called Tawbah. This is called Tawbah. What does it mean? It means that now you realize that Allah is watching you. The reason we sin, the reason we do wrong is because we are not paying attention to the fact that Allah is watching. We are not paying attention to the fact that Allah is seeing us. But now this realization comes to us. Now you see that how it can affect our lives. How it can affect our lives. And let me give you an example. If you send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah gave this example in His book. And we see this example. You know, when Zulaikha was attracted towards Yusuf, and she made her plans to make her advance at Yusuf. Yusuf was a Nabi who was attractive. He was very attractive. And Allah Himself has mentioned this, how attractive he was, that after the incident happened and all the ladies used to say that, oh, she went after her slave. So she made an arrangement for Yusuf to come out in front of the ladies, while they had an apple in her hand, in their own hands. He asked them to hold an apple and a knife, and when he enters, you slice the apple. As he enters, when he entered, they were so mesmerized by him that they slashed their own hands. So Allah has mentioned this to let people know that it wasn't easy for Zulaikha also. And she wanted to prove that to others, that this is not something that was easy for her. But now you see, when she made the arrangements, when she made the arrangements to make advances at Yusuf, even though she had a husband, now what did she do? She closed the doors. She closed the doors of her room, and obviously her room is not like our room in a three-bedroom house. The room she had 7 doors that led to it. Seven doors that led to her own chamber. She called Yusuf inside the chamber and closed all the 7 doors to make sure that no one will come, to make sure that no one is going to come there. So now when she made all that arrangement and then she made her advance at Yusuf. So now we see at that point, no one was there watching her. But as she made her advance, she saw that the idol she worshipped was there. Mm-hmm. Understand this. The idol that she worshipped was there, and the eyes of that idol, even though the idol doesn't have a life, it's not watching anything, it's not seeing anything, but just the fact that she had respect for that idol, just the fact that she honored that idol, and she thought that the idol is watching her, she stopped running after Yusuf. She put a cloth on that idol and then went after him. Now imagine this, my brothers and sisters. I want you to imagine this. Zulaikha stopped her sin even for a split second just because she had a realization that the idol is watching. And that sin, that is through her attraction, her desire, not just a normal thing, but something that was a big test for her. And she was going, but she stopped it. She did not go ahead with it, knowing that the idol is watching. So with this example, if we can understand this much, that if a lifeless idol and the realization of a lifeless idol can have such a huge impact on the behavior of Zulaikha, then how is it that the iman in Allah, who is watching us all the time, cannot have an impact on our lives? You see that, my brothers? Just the fact that when we understand the fact that Allah is watching us, when we know that He is watching us, just the realization that He is watching us, how is it that that cannot have an effect in our lives? The fact is that if we have not done repentance, if we haven't had the realization that Allah is watching us, that's when we do sins. That's when we do wrong. That's when we go away. And this is the reason the first step in doing tawbah is to admit that you are doing wrong. If you don't admit that you are doing wrong, then you will go on doing wrong. You will go on doing wrong. It's like anything. If you have a habit, first you must admit it's a habit. If you don't admit it's a habit, then there's no way anyone can cure you. But if you know that it's a habit, then yes, then there is hope for you. Just like that, when you sin, when you do wrong, if you know, if you admit to your wrong, if you admit to the fact that you're wrong, then you see that there is a chance for you. And we see this hadith from Imam Akhir alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And he had said that after saying wallahi, after he swore to Allah. You know, when we swear to prove to others we are right. That's the reason we swear. But those who are right all the time, those who are honest all the time, they don't need to take the name of Allah to prove they're honest. So when they swear to show the importance of the issue. And he says, Wallahi ma aradallahu min nasin. He says that Allah does not wish from the people except for two things in them. Allah does not want in the people except for two things. He just wants two things in them. He wants to see two things in them. What are they? He said, the first thing Allah wants to see is that they admit to their wrong. They admit to their sins. He said, yeah. No, at first he says that they admit to their sins. If you admit to the sins, then Allah will forgive you. And the next thing is that they should admit to the ni'mat of Allah. The bounties of Allah. And say that this is from Him. If they admit to that, then Allah will increase it for them. So if they admit to the ni'mat of Allah, Allah will increase it. And if they admit to their own sins, then Allah is going to forgive them. So the fact is that first of all, if you want to do tawbah, tawbah means to admit for what you have done wrong. And when we do tawbah, then you see that this, what this does to us. When we realize Allah, when we realize that Allah is there, then you know there's no way you can sin. After you do tawbah, you cannot sin. If you sin, it means you haven't done tawbah. Understand this. If you sin and do tawbah, then again you sin, it means that you really haven't done tawbah. Because once you do tawbah, you cannot sin because now you realize that Allah is watching. And if you sin knowing that Allah is watching, then it's a whole different situation. If you know that Allah is watching and you sin, then you have, there is no way. This is the reason Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam had said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He has said that there is no repentance, Tawbah or the Alim. For those who know, there is no repentance, there is no Tawbah. He says, Tawbah lil jahil. Tawbah is for those who are ignorant of the fact. And not ignorant of the fact that they don't know to sin. They are ignorant. They were ignorant, not paying attention that Allah is watching them. They will come to realize. For those who already realized it, and now they did tawbah. What do you mean there's a tawbah? Tawbah from what? You already realized Allah is watching and you still did it. No, there's no tawbah for that action. But for that action, where you were ignorant and you did it, then there's tawbah. Understand, my brothers and sisters, how and who are those people for whom there is no tawbah? One, the alim, he does not have any tawbah. Two, again the imam says that tawbah is for everyone except for he who plays games with Allah. Now how do you play games with Allah? Yeah, I mean there's some people who think they're smart. And they say that, well, Allah is Tawwab ar-Rahim. And then they drink a peg.
That is slick though.
You know? And they say that Allah is going to forgive us. I mean, they don't even understand what does it mean to do tawbah. When you realize that Allah is watching you, when you realize that Allah is saying no, then it means you shouldn't do it. This is called tawbah. And when you do it knowing that Allah is saying that Allah is going to forgive you, then Allah says, now He's playing games with you. Now you play games with me. For this person, there is no tawbah. I can understand this. So now we see two people I mentioned, those who don't have tawbah. And hopefully we are not in those. We are in the other categories. That's the reason anyone who says, you see that, a lot of people who don't know what they say. Whenever you meet a real alim, he will never admit he's an alim. He will never admit he's an alim. One who's not an alim, he will say, I'm an allama. You see, why, what happens? Because those who don't know, do not know the responsibility of being an alim. They don't know the responsibility of being an alim. If they know they're an alim, it means they don't have any tawbah. Meaning whatever they should do according to their knowledge. Not go against their knowledge. But now when you admit to the fact that you're alim, now Allah is going to say, well, you are the one who said you're alim. Why are you asking for tawbah now? Did you know that the Imam said there is no repentance for you? But see, a lot of times we try to be smart with Allah. And this always fails. This always fails. This is the reason. Humility is the best way. Humbleness is the best way that we are able to gain Allah's grace. If Allah is willing to help us repent, then we should use it through humility. And not do those things wrong again that we have done. This is called tawbah. But now we see one other aspect I want to just say in a few words. We see that we are the only ones who did tawbah. We see that the Anbiya did tawbah, A'imma did tawbah, Asfiya did tawbah. So now, when we look at ourselves, and when we look at them doing tawbah, this thought might occur in our mind. Well, if people like them can do wrong, then who are we? See that? This is also another way Shaitan misguides people. I mean, they do tawbah, who are you? You know, they are doing tawbah, it could be understood, they will not do it. Look at you. So inshallah, if you know, if you are going to compare yourself with them, you have no chance. So what happens is that he makes us hopeless. He makes us hopeless of Allah's mercy. And when we become hopeless of Allah's mercy, that is when we lose all chance of becoming repenting. In order for us to have a chance, we should have hope that Allah will forgive us. So now when we see their forgiveness, when we see that they're asking for tawbah and they're repenting, so now what does that mean? You see, this is the reason. We have a hadith in which Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Where he said that tawbah is the rope of Allah and is the extension of His blessings unto you. Is the extension of His blessings unto you. And he says that you should not leave tawbah no matter what. And every group of people have their own tawbah. Every group of people have their own tawbah. And he starts with the Anbiya. When we see the Anbiya making tawbah, he says the Anbiya, they make repentance. But don't think from the things that you do. Don't think from the things that you do. They make tawbah min istirab al-sir. Meaning they repent from becoming disturbed in their connection with Allah. Whenever they see that connection they have with Allah, that secret connection they have with Allah, whenever they see that it is being disturbed, they make tawbah. We try to gain a connection a few times in our lives. See, understand this. To us, It's like, for example, we are trying to put our plug into the wall, and we see that the wire is bad, so the electricity never flows in. Once in a while, it comes through. Once in a while, it comes through. So what happens is that we are trying to gain a connection to Allah at the time we pray. At the time we do something good, we are trying to gain a connection. But they are those people who are constantly connected to Allah. They are afraid of losing the connection. Understand, this is their tawbah. This is how they make and why they make tawbah. They are afraid of losing that connection. We want to make a connection. And this is their tawbah. So now, this is the tawbah of the Anbiya. And now he mentions about the asfiya, those who are ma'soom, those who are pure. He said that the asfiya, they repent. Right? And this is interesting. They repent from breathing. You see, every time you take a breath, every time you take a breath, it shows that you are depending on this breath to live. See this. You are depending on this breath to live. And this dependence is only there because you are living in this realm of maddi. In this realm of this world, this world we are living in. This dunya that we are living in. Every time you take a breath, this shows that you are living in this dunya. They are trying to gain repentance from this life so that they can live with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is their repentance. When they make tawbah, what are they asking tawbah for? Not for wrongdoings, but just the fact that they are living in this maddi world that keeps them away from the nearness to Allah. Right? And this is the reason they make tawbah. This is the second group. Now we come to awliya. Those who are awliya, those who are the awliya of Allah. Right? Those who are the wali of Allah. Who are those people? What do they make repentance from? He says they make repentance from talwinul khatarat. They make repentance from making, meaning the tests they have, the hardships they have, the trials they have, they make repentance from making those trials easy. They ask Allah that whenever you give a trial, give it to us in a way that we will gain the greatest reward from it. And when it becomes easy, then they know there's something wrong. When it becomes easy, they know that there's something wrong in that. And this is the reason they make tawbah, that Allah, do not make our trials easy for us. This is what they repent. Whenever it becomes easy, they do tawbah. There's something wrong. Why is it becoming easy? See, this is the reason why they do tawbah. Now you see. After that, we come to now the normal people, and though they are also divided into two, khas and am. Khas are the exclusive people of Allah. Those who are exclusive people of Allah. Those who are mu'min, those who are truly mu'min, you can say. What do they repent from? Imam says that those people who are true mu'min, or who are the khas people of Allah, the exclusive people of Allah, they make repentance from ishtighalun bighayr Allah. To be involved in anything other than Allah. Whenever they get involved in anything other than Allah, they say, Ya Allah, there's something wrong here. We want to change. This is the reason, my brothers, when we see awliya Allah, when we see mu'min, we see their lives, what kind of lives they lead. I mean, you heard this example before, and I gave you this before, but just for us to understand in this hadith that we are reading, under this hadith, understand this. At the time, when we see that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, when he was at the end of his life, and the doctor was advising him, because every time he had the chance, he would be reading Quran. Every time he had the chance, he would be reading Quran. In the hospital, he was reading the Quran constantly. And the doctor advised him, listen, Imam, for your own good. You see, for your own good, if you go on reading this, then you will lose your eyesight. For your own good, stop it, otherwise you're going to lose your eyesight. The way your health is, he knew better, the way your health is, you're going to lose your eyesight if you keep on reading this. And Imam Khomeini said, you want me to stop reading the Quran? He said, yes. Then why don't you take my eyes out? Why? Because the only reason I need my eyes is to read the Quran. Understand, these are who? Mu'min. These are true mu'min, true believers. Those who don't want to be involved in any other thing other than Allah's, what Allah has said to them. Now you come to those people. Now, when you see these four stages of tawbah, now you come to the arm, which is the people, us, the masses. For them, he says, for them, when you say repentance, repentance means min dhunub, from sins. They do sins and now they want to repent to Allah. Allah, we have done sins. Because it is only through sin they realize they have done wrong. It is through sins that they realize that they have done wrong. Otherwise, if you look at the Anbiya, the Asliya, the Awliya, they don't need to do sins to realize they have done wrong. Just the fact, just the realization that they're away from Allah. Just the realization that their connection with Allah might be lost or harmed in some way. Just the realization that they're involved in something else other than what Allah wants from them. That itself makes them realize they should do tawbah. So now my brothers, when we look at what repentance is, what is repentance? Repentance, my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. He says, repent to Allah, all of you together. Then he says, O believers. O believers, mu'minun, if you want to be successful. So now, as a whole, as an ummah, as a group, as this ummah that we are, when we do tawbah, what does that mean? That means that we return to Allah. That we return to Allah. In other words, Allah is saying that when you return to Allah, this is when you will be successful. In other words, for the ummah, tawbah means to have a revolution in order to get back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see that? What is tawbah? Tawbah means to revolutionize your actions, revolutionize your lives as an ummah, so that you can come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, when we speak of revolution, we don't speak about arms, we don't speak about bombs, we speak about realization and getting back to Allah's laws.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is called tawbah, this is called revolution in Islam. And if you see, in Islam, Allah, there is no word for revolution. The word usually that's used, for example, in Iran is called inqalab, or in Urdu also inqalab. It's not a word that is used in the ayat or hadith. But the word that is used for revolution in Islam is called tawbah. This is what revolution is. Revolution is that you all together as an ummah, if you can come back to Allah, then you can change your society.
Yes.
Then you can change your society. As a group of people, when you want to change your lives, if you want to be successful, then you come back to Allah's deen and Allah's laws, then you will be successful. That is a revolution. That is a revolution. Because revolution in Islam is just a realization that we should get back to Allah's laws. We have gone away from it and we have to get back to it. And this, my brothers, we see when we look at the meaning and how we should make tawbah and what does it mean. It is not just asking for tawbah like that. No, it has a very deep meaning. And it has a very broad meaning that encompasses the individual as well as the society. As well as the society. The individual must have a revolution within himself to get back to Allah. And the society must have a realization to get back to Allah. Once that realization is achieved, then you see that everyone will be able to come back. And this last day, this last Friday of Ramadan is a holy day, is a sacred day in the month of Ramadan. Allah has said that those who make dua on this day, Allah will make them bright when everyone will be dark. Those who make dua on this day, Allah will make that on that day when everyone will be darkened because of their actions, because of their deeds, Allah will make them bright and shine. This, my brothers and sisters, shows that how important this day is. And this is the reason Imam Khomeini had said that this day, all the Muslims should regard it as Yawm al-Quds. The day when that site, that sacred site of the Muslims was usurped by oppressive rulers. This is the day which is a global day for all Muslims to stand up against this oppression and to voice out their word against this oppression and to see what happens. And this is important because you see, when we don't stand up against oppression, the oppression doesn't go away, it just keeps on getting bigger. And it will keep on getting bigger until it enslaves us. The only way to stop it is to stand up in front of it. And this is the reason why he said, stand up so that at least those Muslims who are not used to standing up straight can have the inspiration to stand up. And if nothing, this is an issue that has to deal with all of us, because Islam has made that land sacred. And we have to maintain the sacredness of that land. And this is the reason that we, when we see oppression, we must stand up against it. This is also that this is the day of Quds. And that's the reason we should remember it at least. And we should make ourselves such that we can do something about it. And if you are not there, then we should repent to Allah and seek means to be like those who are able to do something about it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path.
Ameen.
Give us the wisdom to understand his guidance.
Ameen.
Hasten the reappearance of our Imam.
Ameen.
Make us his helper when he comes.
Ameen.
Wa akhir al-da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allah!